curiosity in us that we want to know, we want to understand. It is here, and it's the best possibility for human beings. We learn, yes, but we experiment the new stuff. That's why we go further and further. Now, these three brothers who didn't listen to the father, and what did they found yet, up to here? That, yes, there is a castle, there is somewhere, and there is a picture over there. That's all they know for the moment. But let's listen to the arguments. Peter?
The discourse of the eldest brother. The eldest said, O men of probity, were not we masculine in giving counsel to others? Whenever one of the retainers complained to us of affliction and poverty and fear and agitation, we used to say, do not bewail thy hardships, be patient, for patience is the key to relief from pain. What has now become of this key, fortitude? Wonderful, the rule is null and void. What has become of it? Did not we always say, in the struggle, laugh happily like gold in the fire? We said to the soldiers at the time of conflict in battle, hark, do not change colour. At the time when the ground trodden underfoot by the horses was entirely severed heads, we were shouting to our troops, on, on, advance irresistibly like the spear point. We preached fortitude to all the world because fortitude is a lamp and light in the breast. Now it is our turn. Why have we become distracted and gone on to the Shadar like cowardly women? O heart that did inspire all with ardour, inspire thyself with ardour and be ashamed of thyself.
Okay. What's happening? The three brothers are guilty, they know it, and somehow they confess. Now the big brother, the leader, the older one, the wiser one, starts some argument. What was it? He is talking about that happening which happens. Normally it shouldn't. So we were normal people, we were giving the normal advice to everyone. How come that we became like this? And this is a very simple and good question, because something is going on. Suddenly, in my nature, I will change when. When do I change? Do you remember when do you change? Very simple. When you are looking at the people, you see the reality and you give them logical advice. But when it comes to yourself, suddenly self-interest will turn everything around. You don't even listen to the advice that was coming from you to the other people. So please remember, you always change your colors when it comes to you. When it happens to be your position, You want it to be exceptional, right? Forget about the rules. To defend me, ego, yes.
O tongue that wert a mentor to all, now 'tis thy turn. Why art thou silent? O reason, where is thy eloquent and persuasive counsel? Now 'tis thy turn. What has become of thy admonitions? O thou who hast removed 100 anxieties from hearts, now 'tis thy turn. Wag thy beard. If now in thy vile poltroonery thou hast stolen a beard, formerly thou must have been laughing at thy beard.
But this doesn't make any really good sense in English, because it's to laugh at the beard of somebody means what? This is a proverb in Persian language, is just like a joke, to laughing at your beard. Here, he will play with this because at the same time, the beard in Persian language has the meaning of the wound. Rish is this and is the wound. So, playing with the meanings. But what is he talking about? He's talking with himself, that, hi, my logical fellow, what's going on when it comes to yourself? Suddenly you change everything. So you know what? You were not serious when you were talking to the other people. Because over there, you were talking only logical, with a good advice. But when it comes to yourself, suddenly you change. Yes?
When thou exhortest others, come on, in thine own anguish, alas, alas, like women, since thou wert a cure for others' pain, thou art silent when pain has become thy guest. 'Twas thy fashion to shout at the soldiers. Shout, shout, why is thy voice choked? For 50 years thou hast woven on thy intelligence, put on an undervest of the fabric which thou thyself hast woven. The ears of thy friends were delighted by thy song. Put forth thy hand and pull thine own ear. Thou art always ahead. Do not make thyself a tail. Do not lose thy feet and hands and beard and such. 'Tis for thee to make a move on the board. Restore thyself to thy normal state and thy vigor.
It was very simple. Who was listening? No one. You were not listening. What was he talking about? What was he talking about? He was giving you the advice that when it comes to yourself, get awake. Be ready. Be ready to advise to yourself whatever you advise to the other people. Because what is the advice? It's one of the ways that we transfer our new understanding or whatever, right? You have to do it to yourself. When it comes to you, suddenly, self-indulgence and I don't know, all those problems we have here. Yes, he will give you an example for this. And the example is a long, long paragraph. Read it. Let's do it tonight. Are you ready? Yeah.
Anecdote of a king who brought a learned doctor into his banquet hall by force and made him sit down. The cupbearer offered him wine and held out the goblet to him. The doctor averted his face and began to look sour and behave rudely. The king said to the cupbearer, "Come, put him in a good humor." The cupbearer beat him on the head several times and made him drink the wine, etc. A drunken king was feasting merrily. A certain jurist passed by his gate. He gave direction, saying, "Bring him into this hall and give him a drink of the ruby wine." So they brought him to the king. He had no choice. He sat down in the hall, sour as poison and snakes. The cupbearer offered him wine. He angrily refused it and averted his eyes from the king and the cupbearer, saying, "I have never drunk wine in my life. Rank poison would please me better than wine."
Okay. Are you listening? He brought in a story to explain what he was talking about. He said, this is what it is. There is this king, and that fellow who is a religious fellow is passing by. He said, "Bring him in. Give him something to drink, some wine." And this fellow has never done that, so he will resist. Yes.
"Hey, give me some poison instead of the wine, that I may be delivered from myself and ye from this." Without having drunk wine, he began to make a row and became as disagreeable to the company as death and pangs. Like carnal, earthly-minded people in the world when they sit with spiritual folk. God keeps his elect drinking secretly the wine of the free. They offer the cup to one who is veiled. Perception apprehends naught thereof except the words. He averts his face from their guidance because he does not see their gift with his eye. If there were a passage from his ear to his throat, the hidden meaning of that admonition would have entered his inward parts.
You see, before something happens here, he just explained the resistance of this fellow to drink. He doesn't believe in that. To arrive to a point to say that, listen, there should be a connection between your ear and your mouth. Do you remember this? Right from the beginning, Rumi started with listen. And he repeated, listen, 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 because this is the only way I could give it to you. But don't keep it as my saying in your ears. It should come to your what? Vision. You have to see it. Just telling, I will talk about the beauty of a flower for hours. Looking at the flower, when you look at it, then you will see there is nothing special. It's just beautiful. This is what we are. We are a complicated stuff, and we distort our vision because we are not listening carefully. Yes?
Inasmuch as his spirit is holy fire, not light, who would throw anything but husks into a blazing fire? The kernel remains outside, and the husk, words, goes in. How should the stomach be made warm and stout by husks? The fire of hell torments only the husks. The fire has nothing to